So I guess from my point of view and from most of our listeners' point of view, putting things on Medicare is a pretty seamless process. You know, we go to the doctor afterwards, I just flash my card, they swipe it, it's all done. But from the other side, which we haven't seen, most of us haven't seen, it's way more complicated. There's way more to it, isn't there?
That's right. It is. It's Medicare is a very, very complex legal system that has evolved over the last 40 years since Medibank was introduced in 1975 by the Gough Whitlam government. The infrastructure to support the complexity, I think, has not kept pace with the changes to the scheme over the last 40 years and the modern delivery of healthcare services. I mean, in 1975, the first scheme, there were about 1,000 items in the medical benefits schedule, as it was then called, and I can confess to having counted them, which is pretty embarrassing, but I actually sat and counted them one night. There's just under 1,000. And now we're up to almost 6,000. And there's complex interfaces with private health, public hospital funding, and various other schemes that all impact claiming options for the medical profession.
So it's not complicated in like an infrastructure sense. So like the fact that we have the swipe machines, that's all pretty simple. It would be more simple now. But it's that there are so many different prices or amounts you can claim for different things. And there are so many different things you can claim. That's what they have to keep track of.
Well, yes, yes. And look, even when you go to the doctor, and as you've quite rightly said, that, you know, there's just this swipe and you walk out and it's all done. That's probably because you're very young and healthy. Not much wrong with you. But if you have, you know, more complex problems, as many people do when they go to the doctor, often more than one thing happens when you go to the doctor. It's not just a simple consultation and you walk out the door. There can be consultation plus or minus immunisation, counselling, bandages, dressing, visits to other support staff within the practice, consumables that are required. And a lot of those areas create complexity for medical professionals in understanding what components of the services that were provided on the day can they charge for? What components can they not charge for? If you bulk bill one part of the service, can you not bulk bill another part? Mm. And then, of course, inpatient claiming is a whole other minefield.
So that's in hospitals?
That's when you go to hospital.
It's not a static thing either. So almost every year we're getting new changes, and especially in election years, we get a whole bunch of promises about things that are changing. So it's not even just learning it once and then you know it. It's constantly changing.
That's right. It's constantly changing. So items are added into the Medicare benefit schedule very often. They are also changed, removed, reworded. More than that, medical technology is evolving at a very, very fast rate. So, for example, in 1975, maxillofacial surgery as a medical specialty did not exist. Jaw and facial surgery, that specialty didn't exist. CAT scans did not exist. MRIs did not exist. And concepts of things like telehealth would have been considered fanciful. So you've got these rapid advances in technology, and the schedule has to keep pace with those, and perhaps it hasn't managed that particularly well in some instances.
You were specifically doing a lot of work last year when there was the big proposal for the co-payments, and I was reading some of your articles, and I think there was one example you gave when a patient went into a hospital and then there were several different ways that they could be billed for a co-payment. You could be co-payment every time a doctor came to you, or when you got big changes like that, there's just so many little things that impacts down the line, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. Look, at the moment, as it stands right now, if a patient goes to hospital and has just a consultation by a physician, let's say, there are over 30 different payment rates, methods, schemes that can be adopted by the clinician, depending on the health fund of the patient. They all have a myriad of rules and regulations. The penalties for getting it wrong are very, very serious, including criminal sanctions. Patients generally speaking, find the whole issue of medical bills very, very confusing. So just about everyone has a story of someone coming out of hospital and receiving huge numbers of medical bills and not knowing where to begin and what's payable and whatnot. And often you get bills from people that you've never even seen or knew existed. And it doesn't mean that those bills are incorrect and that you should not have been issued with them. It's more an issue of how you were informed. All sorts of people providing services to you when you might have been on an operating theatre table and you didn't even know.
Yeah, you could have been out and not seen any of them.
Yeah, or in intensive care. So it's very complex for patients to understand all of this, particularly when you've got a health fund saying you'll never have out-of-pocket expenses, when the reality is you probably will, but it might be in the fine print.
And that fine print can stretch for days. I mean, I found out this year that I was paying in my private health insurance for in case I got pregnant.
It's unlikely to happen, Josh. it would be a miracle.
Not one I'm planning to pay for the contingency, though. But another thing that I've seen that you've noted in your research is that there's quite a lot of savings that could be found if we trained the doctors and the people putting through these claims appropriately. I think I saw in one of the articles you wrote that they did do training in 2007, and they came up with savings of almost $250 million.
Mm.
So why aren't we doing that? And would that continue if we kept training up?
Look, it's a very good question. I don't have the answer, and it is something that I'm seeking to find answers to through my PhD research. The February 2007 Medicare Forum, the then Minister for Human Services, Chris Ellison, announced that they had achieved $250 million in program savings in the previous year simply by education programs to change the perceptions and attitudes of doctors to their prescribing and claiming. And when I found that in the course of doing my literature review, and, you know, it's an important consideration in the context of my research, which is all about if we teach doctors better, if we help them to understand how to claim better, what impact would that have? And the only evidence we have is that a Medicare Forum at the moment. There's no other research on this particular point, no other empirical data. So all we have is that. And the current indication is that if you do that, costs go down if they understand better how to claim.
So all this talk about we have to save Medicare for the future, and a lot of it could be saved just by cutting this inefficiency, potentially.
Yeah, look, there's certainly a lot of internal inefficiencies that could be addressed. That is one of them. And you'd have to, you've got to consider the fact too that there's no national curriculum on Medicare claiming. And perhaps there was no need for a national curriculum on this topic back in 1975. But the topic of health insurance, sort of law and practice and how it works, really is a very complex area, every bit as complex as, you know, tax law, for example. And there's no national curriculum. There's nowhere to go to learn how to do this correctly.